This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod.
And welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. You know, it's not that warm out in the Maryland, D.C. area. We actually hit a record low of 51 last night. It kind of feels like hockey weather a little bit. And joining me, as always, to talk about all the things Caps news, Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I want to let you know this, I know this, our streak continues. We do a show, it's a good show, and then immediately the Capitals find out and release giant news that changes the face of the organization the very next day. And I am, of course, talking about the signing of TJ Oshie, done mere hours after our last show was posted. So TJ Oshie is going to be a Washington Capital, I would assume.
Yeah, that was a real dick move by them.
We released it around 2 o'clock. They released this news around 5 o'clock.
Around 2:05.
Yeah. TJ Oshie, it looks like he's going to be finishing out his career in the NHL as a Washington Capital, as it stands right now, signing an 8-year contract. But to break it all down, Coach Dan, what is your thinking of this contract and the money that we will be spending on TJ Oshie for the next 8 years?
Well, it was an interesting deal. Again, I'd said all along, Brandon, he was coming back.
You know what? I will eat my words. This entire season, I have said there's no way that they were going to re-sign TJ Oshie. It's just no way of doing it. And the Capitals proved me wrong. I am so happy.
McCullough said, screw you, Brandon. I'm doing it anyways.
I'm so happy to be wrong right now. I love the fact that TJ Oshie is staying on. I can't believe they were able to do it. But, you know, our show about the What the Puckies, I think potentially I could have had a big cog in there of the fact that he does have kids and a 3-year-old and the wife that likes it here. I mean, that's always going to account for a player's personal life if he stays with a team for this long.
I was surprised. So when I was playing around with the cap friendly, I always had him at $6 million a year in terms of a cap hit. So it was pretty close. I think he's at $5.75 million per year. So I was relatively close to the number in terms of what I thought he was going to make. I think he took a little bit less in order for the extra years. And I'm a little concerned that we're going to have the same problem with him that we're currently having with Orpik, in the sense that his cap hit and his contract does not reflect upon the production. But for the next probably 4 or maybe 5 years, I think it's going to be fine. After that, it's going to be a little, you know, interesting. But for the moment, I think it's great that he's back. I think this is a guy they had to hang on to. He's a top-line right-wing guy. He scored the same amount of goals as Ovechkin last season, so he's a guy you had to keep no matter what. And they didn't really have to overpay in terms of a cap hit. I think on the free agent market, if you made it there, if other teams would have had the opportunity to sign him, he could have gotten significantly more money. Mm-hmm. Yearly, in terms of, or at least a cap, it would have been much higher, but they were able to bring it down by doing the 8 years at $46 million total. So I think it was a great move by the Capitals to bring him back. I'm concerned about the number of years, but I guess that's a problem, just like with Orpik, that's a problem for another day.
That's a problem for future Brandon and Dan to have. Not now. No need to worry now.
Can you imagine still doing this 8 years from now?
If we're doing
Holy crap, I'll be 40.
Wow. Way to bring us all down, man.
That is frightening. Jesus Christ.
I hope by that point we're like holograms on phones or something when we're still not doing...
It's not Futurama, man.
I don't know. Maybe something.
That'd be cool, though.
Maybe we'll at least get like a video, or maybe we'll be on CSN by that point. Who knows? But wishful thinking.
Right about that part.
Yeah. But Oshie coming back, I love it. I love the signing. I am shocked it was below $6 million. I didn't think he was going to settle for that. But awesome work by the front office of the Capitals to be able to get it done. I love what he's done. But like you said, so you're saying it's something to worry about maybe year four, year five. He had two really good seasons.
After year five. So I think there's potentially 3 years of the team going, mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So... But let me ask you, what did he have this year? He had, 30 goals? this year? Can he do
something like that?
Can he do another 30 goal year next year and the year after?
Yeah. I mean, the Capitals have two of the better centers in the NHL, and Nicholas Backstrom, and when they re-sign Yevgeny Kuznetsov. I see no reason whatsoever that they don't have the opportunity to sign, not to sign, to have him score just as many goals going forward. So, I definitely think this is an opportunity, or he definitely has the opportunity to get as many points and goals specifically as he did last season, if not more. Now that he's a little bit more settled, we'll see what happens with the team and his line mates. But I think he's going to get just as many opportunities to go out there and score goals. But I find it interesting. I mean, they're kind of throwing all their eggs into the basket of this top line of Ovechkin, Backstrom, and Oshie. And they're all right about the same age. I mean, Ovechkin's 31, Oshie's 30, and Backstrom's 29.
Backstrom's 29? I mean,
this is the core now.
Wow.
According to Cap Friendly, Backstrom is 29. This is the core. That's that top line right there. Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie, with I'm sure Backstrom and Kuznetsov every once in a while, you know, flip flopping between the first and second line. But it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely, it will be. And it's interesting that you brought that up. That they're kind of putting all their eggs in one line, pretty much, because so much.
Well, I don't know about go that far, because depending on what happens with the restricted free agent, I definitely think Kuznetsov and Burakovsky are coming back, and it doesn't look like Williams is going to be back. But even if Williams comes back, I don't think he's necessarily on that second line. I think they have to give Andrei Burakovsky second line minutes.
I'm right there with you on that point, but, you know, going into this season, it was all about rolling four lines deep. That was the message. That's how we got beat by the Penguins last season. So they're like, all right, we gotta do this. You know, we gotta fix the four lines. We have to do this. We have to make sure Ovi and Oshie aren't out there the whole time. So what has changed? I mean, we're still the same team that lost to the Penguins in the second round 2 years in a row. Why is it no longer the big deal to go four lines and to put all your eggs in that top line?
I don't know if I go so far to say put all their eggs in the top line necessarily, but I feel like this is the first time almost in Ovechkin's, God, I want to say in his career, that he's had a top line center and a top line right wing. That he has had guys that are some of the best in the league.
That right wing definitely has kind of been like, you know, when you put your iPod on shuffle, fit. You know, it's kind of like, all right, let's see if this works.
Yeah, we'll see who else can fit in that spot. I mean, Knubel was good. I think Zubers was playing in the center spot with him. But it's always kind of been like, who's going to play that right wing spot? And I think now we know it's definitely TJ Oshie. Mm-hmm. And I think they can roll three lines at least at this point in terms of talking how deep the team is. I think you definitely have that first line of Ovechkin, Backstrom, and Oshie. I think the second line will end up being something along the lines of Kuznetsov, Burakovsky, and Johansson. I think that third line is likely going to be something like Eller, Connolly, because he got re-signed to a two-year deal at $1.5 million per season. We can talk about that in a few minutes. And then whether you sign Williams or if it's Wilson or Vrana or whoever it may be, you know, I think those are your three lines. Your fourth line is, you know, maybe not getting quite as many minutes. I don't see this as a four line team at the moment.
Okay. All right. So yeah, let's.
But I don't know if those teams also saw themselves as, like we talk about the Penguins. I don't think they necessarily saw themselves. Of course, they'll come out and say they did.
Right. Because I mean,
you have to imagine at first they didn't see themselves as a four line team, and then you had guys like. Sheary and that other idiot, Gensel.
You had the HBK line really well. 2 years ago with Phil Kessel being a third line guy.
That's true. And so it's, you know, you never know what you're going to have. You try and put the best players forward, at least on paper, at the beginning of the season and hope that it works out.
All right, so, I mean, we'll see what happens down the road. I love the signing of Oshie. I'm a little concerned about, you know, where the team is going.
That is 80 billion years.
Right. You know, it was a four-line team once, and for one season, we're throwing that out the window, and we're going back to the power forwards at the top line, which is maybe not a bad thing, but, you know, I'm just intrigued to see where it goes from here. Like you said, Brett Connolly got re-signed. He got a two-year deal, $1.5 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Per year, yeah.
And we brought him up a couple shows ago on What the Puckies, and I said he was a big waste of cap space. He got my Jaromir Jagr award. So I like Brett Connolly a lot in the regular season. I thought he did a great job in the regular season, had a great season. However, he definitely disappeared in the postseason. why would the Caps sign him back knowing that he, you know, is Houdini in April?
I mean, he wasn't necessarily stepping up in the playoffs, and there was some conversations about the fact that he maybe he was benched in terms of the fact that they didn't know who to sit in, you know, on defense, so they decided to go with seven defensemen because they weren't, you know, right. They weren't sure which guy they should be sitting out. But he had a good regular season, and you can't argue that. I mean, 23 points in 66 games, that's not right. bad.
That's but really playoffs, good for a guy
that's
who...
That's good for a guy who was like 800,000 was his cap hit.
Yeah.
But at 1.5, there's going to be, you know, that's not bad. 15 goals, 8 assists. If it goes up a little bit, that'd be great at 1.5 million. I'll take that. But for this guy, you're definitely expecting a little bit more, especially come playoffs. Now, I mean, I like to think that the expectations are they're going to make the playoffs next season. And so you expect him to be able to step up more. He went 7 games, no points. That's a problem, especially at 1.5 million. If you're playing, my guess is he's playing on that third line with Eller and to be named later. And, I mean, that could be a very good line in terms of production or not so much. But I think regular season he's good, but in the postseason we need to see more.
With more goals.
I think they overpaid a little bit. I think they
– Yeah.
I'd have to go and look in terms of whether there was I don't think he had to go to salary arbitration or anything like that, but I do think they overpaid for him by
– I think an easy million would have been nice for a guy who's going to be third, fourth line and potentially benched a little bit. You know, with more goals becomes more.
He's only 25. That's the interesting part.
Oh, that is. I didn't realize he was that young either.
I mean, he's still a young guy. There's definitely time for him
okay.
to.
Okay. All right. So here's a question then.
Okay. Go ahead. What's
he got? 25 years old. They see some great stuff from him in the regular season. Is this a thing where the Capitals see this as a very coachable guy? That with the potential of getting even better than he was this past season, is this something that maybe him and Barry Trotz got along very easily, and Trotz sees something in him that he definitely can coach him to be a better player? Is that something that could be why he got a raise and stayed on?
Well, I think you have. I don't know if there's a ruling in terms of you have to pay them more. I think in terms of salary arbitration, yes, or restricted free agents, but I think maybe there's. I don't know if there could be a case to be made there in terms of whether he – I think he did well in the regular season. They're paying him based on his regular season statistics. I think to some extent his lack of production in the playoffs, as well as the fact they didn't know which defenseman to bench, mm-hmm. led to him sitting up in the press box for the rest of the playoffs.
Thanks for helping us figure that out, Vegas.
Yeah. But I do think that there is an opportunity here. And the fact he's only 25, we're talking about 29, 30, 31-year-old. It's a different story. The guy's only 25, so he still has an opportunity to get better. Not that 30-year-old don't have an opportunity to get better, but at that point, they're sort of past their – they're in the middle of their career, their prime.
Yeah.
This guy still has an opportunity to get better and better, and it could be one of those things where he's fits into the system well and the playoffs just kind of crept out. Or is it one of those things like Burakovsky where he was on the third line a lot last season and wasn't producing because he wasn't playing with guys that are going to help him produce, but then you put him on the top line and he suddenly starts to produce. So – it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do with Connolly next season. I think him and Eller would be an interesting lineup and pairing, and depending on who's on the left or right side with them, things mm-hmm. could get a little interesting. And I think he could fill in a game or two at the on the top line or the second line if there was an injury to somebody or somebody needed a night off or whatever it may be.
And like you said, there are a couple holes on the offense, and Justin Williams is a guy who is becoming an unrestricted free agent, and news broke yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this, and he said that the talks with the Capitals have kind of stalled. So there is some interest there from the Capitals side about bringing Justin Williams back, but it seems as if we are inching closer and closer to free agency. There's a very good chance that he's not on this team come July 1.
Yeah, I'd say so. I don't anticipate. I think they still have to re-sign with all their restricted free agents that are still out there. Kuznetsov, Burakovsky, Orlov, Grubauer before he gets traded. I think there's just not enough money to go around. And now that they have to find a new fourth defenseman, I think they need to save their money and let Williams go. And I'd love to bring the guy back. Like, it'd be great. I just don't see it happening.
And he just had a big golf tournament over, I think, in Sweden. And it was him, Daniel Winnick, Nick Backstrom, Marcus Johansson, a couple other of Caps players. So he definitely does have a good friendship with a lot of these guys. So he gets along with them well. And we've seen him and Andrei Burakovsky grow closer over the last season. So it's good to have a veteran guy like that in the locker room, but you know, if he becomes too expensive and you have other things that have to be covered, I mean, he's going to have to kind of go to the wayside, because what they did send qualifying offers. Let me find the list here. They tendered qualifying offers to Grubauer, Chandler Stephenson, Andrei Burakovsky, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, Dmitry Orlov, Travis Boyd, and Liam O'Brien. That's a lot of guys to have to re-sign.
There's quite a few. You know, we got a couple.
And you got some big
Not
names
all
in there.
Not necessarily count against the cap hit, just because a lot of these guys, like, Brandon, don't take this the wrong way, but it's likely that Liam O'Brien will be down with Hershey.
Well, we knew that.
Okay, well, I just know you're a big fan of his, so I want to make sure you're okay.
Am I?
A big fan or okay?
I'm a big fan of Liam O'Brien.
Yeah, I think you are. That's your boy. You loved it when he made the team. Anyways, I mean, I think Stephenson has a chance to make the team. I think Boyd has a chance to make the team. Brian, not so much. And I think we're definitely going to hang on to Kuznetsov, Orlov, and Burakovsky, and Grubauer until he gets traded. So they need to – if anything happens with Williams, it happens after July 1. Okay. Unless it, within the next 3 days, they're like, yeah, we locked down Kuznetsov, Grubauer, Orlov, and Burakovsky. All right, Williams, you're back.
They were cheap enough. We got enough for you, old man. We're happy you're a U.S. citizen now.
He's 35. The only guy older than him is Orpik, and Orpik is good. You know, he's the old man river in sports terms. So, man, I think Williams is gone. I just, you know, I'd love to have him back. I think him on the third line with Connolly and Eller would be a nice line. I just don't see it happening. I think Wilson's on the third line, and they have a fourth line of Beagle. And then I don't know. Beagle, Walker, and Vrana. Or maybe Wilson's on the fourth line with Beagle and Walker. Walker? Oh, darn. Where did I read that? I feel like I read recently that the dude in Hershey. Oh, shoot. What's his name? Troy Mann. He was talking about how Nathan Walker is probably the most NHL-ready player they have right now.
Well, he's been in the system a really long time. I mean, he played with
Walker.
Hershey.
He hasn't been that long, man.
Yeah, he has. I mean, the he played a season before he was drafted with the Hershey Bears.
Yeah, but wasn't he drafted like last year?
No. It was when they were in Philadelphia. Hold on, it was actually up on my my timeline on the Facebooks.
He's only 23.
2014. So he started playing in Hershey in 2013.
That's three seasons.
Three seasons. One of them he was in South Carolina, and I think he broke his leg, so he missed a little bit of that.
That sounds painful.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's only 23. I think Walker has a good chance to make the team. People are talking about this other kid. But he's going back to North Dakota, so we don't have to worry about that. I think it's going to sound like Walker, Beagle, and Wilson, and then maybe Vrana's on the third line. Vrana needs to step it up a little bit. He's a bit of a mental block right now. But I think we have maybe something like Vrana, Connolly, and Eller, which could be an interesting line.
Mm-hmm.
I think Connolly and Vrana will be like setting each other up, and Eller will be like, hang on, guys, I want to play too. Guys, include me.
Don't forget.
I'm here too, guys. I'm winning face-offs for you. Hopefully. And there's also the chance for this kid they picked up from Minnesota to help them in the draft to hang on to Eller in the vacuum, Grayovac. I'm making it happen. That's his name. I'm actually more concerned about the defense right now because they freaking need a fourth defenseman like nobody's business. I mean, you got Niskanen. You got Carlson. You're going to re-sign Orlov. Alsner's likely gone. Shattenkirk, enjoy the Rangers. Orpik, old man river.
Well, Tampa Bay also looked at Shattenkirk. So
that's interesting because weren't they the team that wanted to sign him to a sign and trade, and they were actually going to do it, and then something went poorly, and then they backed out, and then St. Louis was like, "Well, we'll just trade to the Capitals." Then.
I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's kind of the Cliff Notes version of what happened. And so, I mean, there's Chorney, you know, and Christ. But, you know, at the way the team is now, you likely bring up Bowie, you re-sign Orlov, and then you have Orlov and Niskanen, you have Carlson and Orpik, I guess, and then Chorny and Bowie, which is not great.
It's interesting you brought up Chorny, because I don't know if you saw Barry Trotz doing his interview at the draft on day two, but he actually said that he wanted to see Taylor Chorny get a lot more minutes this upcoming season.
And well, that makes one of us.
And that they're potentially looking at him to fill that Nate Schmidt role.
No. No, thank you. That's it. All right, so if you can get Kuznetsov back at a reasonable cost, if you can get Burakovsky back at a good cost, and you trade Grubauer. Thing is, that's the thing. Grubauer is still a good trade chip because they re-signed Phoenix, spells his first name wrong, Copley.
Copley,
and yeah. You have – is it Copley?
Copley.
I should remember this from now. I need to write it down. But you they have re-signed Copley to, I believe – where did it go? To a 2-year, $1.3 million deal, which is not bad, not a huge cap hit. Now you have the opportunity to move out Grubauer, and if there's a team that's looking for a goalie, and there's not a lot of them, but if there's a team looking for a goalie, you have the opportunity to then bring in a pretty decent defenseman for him because Grubauer is going to be a good NHL goaltender.
Yeah, Phoenix Copley, he signed a deal, a 2-year deal, $1.3 million. The first season is a two-way deal. So there's potential of him going to Hershey for a little bit.
So he's got the same thing as – sorry, not to cut you off. He's got the same thing as Christian Juice.
Right. Year two is a one-way deal. So to me, that sounds like Grubauer, we're sticking around. We're keeping him here until he gets traded, and then we're going to bring Copley up full-time. To me, that's what that contract says.
Now, I think Grubauer's gone this offseason, and Copley's the guy backing up Holpe.
I mean, it's potentially that could be it, but we don't know. I definitely
that's my guess.
I definitely think that Grubby is trade bait, 100%. I mean, I think the Capitals fully thought that they were going to lose him to Vegas, and now they don't know what to do with him. But he's going to be a great starter. You know, that's a big thing. Like the Caps had Varley and Nuvi, and there wasn't any faith in them to be starters. And look where they're at now. You know, Nuvi is a backup goaltender. Sorry. He is. He can start one or two games, but you can't have faith in the guy over a season. And Varley, I mean, he shows, you know, little spurts of brilliance and then nothing. So Grubauer has shown throughout the last couple seasons that we've had him here, he can be that starter dude. When Holpe was sick with the flu or whatever.
He could be that starter dude.
He could be, yeah, you know.
We'll get him a starter jacket.
Holpe went down. He was sick in the playoffs 2 years ago. Grubby stepped up. I wasn't worried. I was happy that Grubby was able to get a couple playoff games under his belt. He played really well, much better than Justin Peters did. But Grubauer, he could definitely make some bank, and he could be a great goaltender, a starter for a team in the NHL right now. You know, I don't know who's really looking, but, you know, potentially if there's a team out there willing to go after him, you know, this could be the perfect opportunity for him to get starter minutes and for the Caps to unload some cash.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the Caps or were surprised to some extent when Schmidt got taken. I think that they did expect Grubauer to go. I feel like he is trade bait. If he didn't get taken, I have to imagine they're looking to deal him, especially now that they need a defenseman.
Yeah, if they're looking like for a fourth defenseman, aren't they like calling up GMs going, hey, we got this really great goaltender.
We got this goalie you might like. His name's Phil.
He's German. He's got a weird haircut. Come on. You know you want him.
Yeah, don't worry about the haircut. All right? You can send him to, you know, the local place, the barbershop around the corner or a salon. I don't know what these Germans do. But you can send him somewhere. He'll get it worked out. Don't worry about that part. He wears a helmet, so it doesn't even matter. But I do feel like this is a great opportunity. You can go out and you can sign someone in the free agent market. And as we've been reading around other places like Russian Machine and Capitalist Outsider, that the free agent market, there's a couple of options, but free agency also tends to make things a little more expensive than they should be. And that trading for a guy, you already have him under control in terms of his contracts, depending on what it was based on the prior team. I do think they have a great opportunity here with Copley coming along. Has the opportunity to potentially back up Holpe. Holpe loves playing 80 billion games a season. That's not even possible because they don't have that many. But he loves playing as many games as possible. So it's not like you're going to throw him out there, you know, every other game in Copley. So Copley, damn it, what is his freaking name? You know what? It's both now. He's got two last names. They're the same. They're just pronounced differently. So they have a, you know, they have an extra opportunity here to be able to move out someone who's likely going to be an outstanding goaltender and bring something valuable back in a defenseman. Just maybe this time, don't let George Laffey trade it away for Martin freaking Erak. My expectation is that Grubauer is not a member of the Washington Capitals next season.
Like, you're thinking, like, even by training camp, he's gone.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You know,
I don't know. I'm a fan of Arsenal Football Club, and they wait till the last minute. So Arsenal and the Caps tend to have a lot in common sometimes. So maybe they'll trade him during the season. I don't know.
Now,
ideally, yeah, you do it a little earlier because you want to have time for the new player to integrate himself into the team and not only just getting to know the guys, but also understanding trust the system.
Right. Now, if Grubauer, you know, goes somewhere else, Copley comes up and is a Capital, you have Vitek Vanacek in Hershey. Is there anybody else going to be backing him up? Because we know Samsonov is going to be staying in Russia for another year. He's not even at developmental camp. Do they have another goalie lined up? Is there one they can promote from South Carolina? Isn't there?
Nope. I don't think you want to be promoting anybody from South Carolina. I mean, I think that Holtby, knock on wood, he stays healthy. You're okay in terms of having Copley be the backup. But if, you know, Holtby goes down, yeah, you're in a little bit of trouble, but you are anyways. I think right now the need for a number four defenseman is a bigger need than a backup goaltender.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hear you. I agree with you. So let's move on from Grubauer talk. Let's talk about the NHL draft that happened this past weekend. Capitals didn't have a pick till round four. They had four picks in all and were relatively quiet. You know, even some of the reporters that were at the draft were, you know, they're like, Brian McClellan is talking to this guy and it's over. And that was it. They picked.
He picked up the phone. He ordered a pizza and that was it. Like, yeah, it was very quiet. You're definitely right about that.
They had their numbers, and they picked where they were assigned, and that was it. So the Caps have four new players.
They didn't even make a trade.
Nothing.
To move around in the draft.
No, nothing.
They're the most boring draft ever for the Capitals. But yeah, it was interesting. I mean, everyone was expecting them to do something, whether it's at least make a trade down or something to pick up extra draft picks since they only had four. But nope. Yeah, but it was interesting that they went out and they actually acquired, so to speak, a bunch of defensemen with their fourth round pick, which was 120th overall, which, good lord, there's a lot of people that picked in these drafts. They picked up, and I'm going to butcher all these names, Tobias Geiser, who is a gigantic human being at 6'4", which, yeah, he's tall. He's a defenseman. He's a guy that people are looking at being like, this could be a nice pick and a good steal for the Capitals going forward. I don't imagine we're going to see him in the U.S. anytime soon in terms of playing in the NHL, but he's someone to keep an eye on going forward. His picture actually on NHL.com makes him look like he's freaking 12 years old. With their fifth-round pick, they picked up, defenseman Sebastian, Walfridsson. I want that guy to make it in the NHL because his name is silly, and I will definitely get that T-shirt if Walfridsson is one of the guys that makes it, and he looks kind of like a goofball in his picture. As well, with the sixth round pick, they picked up American defenseman Benton Mass. Not Mass, but Mass. M-A-A-S-S. That's going to confuse a lot of reporters if this kid makes it forward. These are nice, good picks of defensemen. The seventh round pick, they picked up left wing. Oh, God. Christian Roikas Marthinson. I want all these guys to make it because they have cool names. That's all I can say. We got three defensemen, a left winger. I don't believe there was necessarily any connection. I know some people were kind of reaching at that, but there's a connection between Schmidt getting picked and taking a bunch of defensemen because none of these guys are going to be on the team for the next few seasons. So there's definitely no connection there. I think they went with best player available. McClellan came out and said that they tried to move up a couple of times, but every time they were going to make a move, someone went and took the player they wanted, so they went with the next guy available. And I always find it awkward when a general manager says that because you have to imagine if you're the player and you read that, you're like, hey, what do you mean you didn't want me? But either way, after the first round, it's a crapshoot. So
Not just the first round. Usually it's like the first three, and that's about it that are starters.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how these guys do.
When Oshie's leaving, these guys will be starting, so that's fun.
I don't know if I go quite that far. And you never know. These guys could show and be like, hey, we're actually pretty good, and surprise you. Or, you know, not.
Yeah, we'll see. So,
I don't know.
Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Probably, but I can't think of anything right now.
There is some minor league stuff going on. We'll just cover that real quick. Do want to bring up the Hershey Bears unveiled a new logo because they are celebrating. It's a new secondary logo, probably a patch they'll have on the jerseys.
I like their logo.
They got a good logo, but this is their 80th anniversary season.
That's crazy.
Insane. The Caps just celebrated, what, 40th? Two seasons ago?
Yeah. Oh, wait. I might be right. Hold on. Yeah, that's probably right, actually.
So that's pretty crazy. And
they're old. Established in 1938.
Wow. That is crazy. But the big part of the 80th season is going to be on January 20th, 2018, when the Hershey Bears host the 2018 Outdoor Classic at Hershey Park Stadium against the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. That's going to be pretty cool. I tried to go to the last outdoor game they had a couple years back, but that was during the Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl run, and I sold my tickets to watch the Ravens-Broncos game that night.
Oh, yeah.
It was a mile-high miracle. That was an amazing game. But that's cool. 80 years. I mean, that's definitely something to celebrate. Hershey Bears been around that long. That's quite an accomplishment to you know, not be like the Baltimore Clippers / Skipjacks / Bandits and constantly leave town.
Yeah, and I still think ECHL in Baltimore would be cool.
I'd love to see it, but highly doubt it.
Speaking of ECHL, the Stingrays announced that they have come to a new agreement with head coach Ryan Warsofsky, who had great success in his first year as the team's leader behind the bench. They didn't win the Kelly Cup, but they got pretty freaking close, I guess. They got swept, right, though. That didn't go well.
Oh, yeah.
But outside of that awkwardness, the dude did well, and I think he earned himself a new deal. Also, I was just reading that the ECHL has announced that their conference and divisional alignment has changed slightly, as they have two teams joining the ECHL in the Jacksonville Icemen. There's no creativity there. They'll be playing in the South Division with the South Carolina Stingrays. They also have a new division in the Western Conference called the Mountain Division, which just sounds cool to me. Apparently, it's just me. But yeah, it's pretty much the same division with the addition of the Jacksonville Icemen. Actually, looking at the Norfolk Admirals, they have kind of a cool logo.
The Admirals? Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. It looks like they changed it up since they moved in the ECHL, but if the Caps were ever to move on from South Carolina, I'd like for them to go to Norfolk.
I'd like them to go back to Reading. That'd be nice. That's only like a two-hour drive.
Norfolk's only like 2 hours for me.
4 hours for me.
No, that's
I'm more important.
Three. Sorry. Oh, thanks, man. It's greatly appreciated. Yeah, cool. I'm curious what their jerseys look like. We've gotten off topic. But yeah, that's what's going on down in the minor leagues down on the farm.
That I do like that new logo, the one with the five stars.
Yeah, that looks cool.
That is. Yeah, I thought you were talking about the one with the old boat, but you know, this one's cool.
No, that one's like.
I like the one with the anchor. The anchor and the stars and the rope. That's a cool logo.
Oh, they're with Nashville.
Oh, that's why it's blue. That's why it's blue and yellow.
Well, you could totally do if they were to hook up. Not that we don't want to lose. That didn't make sense. Not that we want to lose South Carolina, but in theory, if the team was to want to move closer by chance, I do think that Norfolk would. And you could see that logo. You just turn that yellow into red. You're good to go.
That's very true. Plus, if they did it this season, Norfolk could have an outdoor game at Navy Stadium in March. I mean, you got Admirals, you got Navy. It's all there.
Well, they have a minor league baseball team down there that's affiliated with the Nats, the Orioles. I can't remember.
Who? Norfolk, the Tides. Yeah, that's the Orioles.
Yeah. So, like, you know, you can always play a game there, too. It's not like the O's are going to be playing in January.
Or October.
Or any baseball. Yeah, or October.
God, they look bad. So before we go, I meant to bring this up earlier when we were talking about Grubauer, but we did have a listener of the show, Kurt Wolbert, actually ask us a question and says, how do you think the Condon signing, I think that's how you say his name, will influence how the Caps handle Grubauer?
Not going to matter because he's going to get traded.
But is the
God, next question
is the fact that they signed Ottawa signed him for that specific deal, is that going to affect how Grubauer is dealt?
I mean, yeah, anytime a team signs a goalie that they feel is going to be their number one or number two, then it takes away an opportunity for someone to trade Grubauer to, but I still think he's gone.
Okay. So it was... Condon got a three...
I don't see the reason to keep him around when you just re-signed Copley, and you need a fourth freaking defenseman. I think you have to do it. You got to move him out.
Condon signed for 3 years.
$2.4 million, that's more than... maybe not.
Yeah.
What if Grubauer... Hold on, I got to look at Grubauer got in the past. His cap hit last season was 750. That'd be a hell of an upgrade. It's possible, but I don't think
Grubauer. I don't think he would be. He would make $2 million his first year as a starter.
Mm.
I don't know. That seems a lot for a guy who does have NHL experience, but has never been a starter before for a long amount of time.
Yeah, I would imagine the team that signs him. I mean, if they intend to make him their guy, I think they sign him to a longer term deal, and the cap hit's probably up there, maybe somewhere close to Condon, but maybe not too long a term deal, maybe 2-3 years. But I think this just maybe takes away an out or someone they can make a trade with. And again, I don't know if Ottawa's looking to move out any defenseman after they lost Method or whatever how you say his name to Vegas than Dallas.
Right. All right, well, anything else we should talk about in this episode of What the Puck?
Oh, I can say goodbye to Carl Alsner.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, so free agency is just a few days away. So Carl Alsner, potentially Justin Williams, there's a, you know, this is the last time in Caps jerseys, potentially.
I like Alsner. I think he's a great player. I would have liked to see him back, but he's going to cost too damn much.
Where do you think Brooks Like ends up? The dance floor
free agency.
He's tweeting out there, hey everybody, I'm available July 1, come get me.
I think maybe he gets a couple of minor league offers or he'll be invited to a couple of camps, but I think that's it.
Brooks Like, I don't know, he seems like he still wants to play and that he's really into it, but if he was cheap
and the Caps had a spot. Like, if Walker's not that guy and that he's willing to come in and play fourth line minutes, maybe?
If, like, maybe he goes to Calgary and Troy Brouwer's still there and you put in a good word for him, maybe?
It's possible.
Maybe Winnipeg?
I don't see him coming back to D.C. because I just don't think the Caps have a spot, and I think he would want more money than they're willing to give up.
Hmm. All right, well, I guess we've covered everything for this show. Been a fun one, but if you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking about all kinds of Capital stuff and other teams as well, not just hockey, but soccer, European football, and whatever the hell else I feel like tweeting about in regards to sports and how they're going to screw around. Redskins are going to mess around with Kirk Cousins. And then not sign him and go get some schmuck backup guy because they're dumb. I can also find some of my old stuff, and I wrote something relatively recently about the Capitals offseason over at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which Brandon, which player would you like to see a bobblehead for next season? You know the Caps are not going to do it.
Let's see.
I want Phoenix Copley, but the background of the bobblehead has to be the city of Phoenix.
I want
Phoenix. Or Alaska, because isn't that where he's from?
He's from North Pole, Alaska. So
yeah,
I want Phoenix Copley. Phoenix Copley dressed as an elf. Bobblehead.
Oh, you went in a different direction than I thought.
Well, you could have went Santa, but that's a little on the nose.
But with like the North Pole next to him. Or I want the Gryovac, whatever the however you say his name. I want him on the team. I want his bobblehead, and it's him with a vacuum.
you do that John. All season.
Sponsored by who makes vacuums? I can't think of anyone. Hoover. No, isn't that one? I don't know.
Oric?
Sure. That's interesting.
My old is that from Mad Men?
I never watched Mad Men.
What?
How dare I tell you the truth?
How have you not? Oh God! Have you watched Drive yet?
Stay on topic.
Have you watched Drive yet?
No.
God.
No, I have not. But somehow that's CapitalsOutsider.com. Brandon. Tell us about Brandon Cash Entertainment.
What about Breaking Bad?
No, man.
God, you are the worst.
I got to get through before I can go back to. Okay, well, that's just mean. Like, you're just being mean-spirited now.
What you want to do is...
Guys, enjoy the last episode of What the Puck if Brandon is a Jerk.
You step away from Doctor Who, and you go down this road.
Speaking of Twitter.
All right, go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go over to our Facebook page, Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. That's where Kurt asked a question. If you want to ask us a question, that's where to do it, over on Facebook, and we'll bring it up on the show because we'll be back next week to cover free agency. So do that. Follow us on Twitter at
The Caps Trade Groover.
Yeah, well, you know, it's probably going
to
happen.
I don't, like, want him to be traded because I think he's a good player, but we need a defenseman more.
Yeah, I hear you. I agree with you. So go over to Twitter, follow us at WhatThePuckPod, and like us, follow us, do everything you're supposed to do there. We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show, write an iTunes review, and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Caps fan. I listen to What the Puck. It's the off season, but they're still getting me ready for October hockey in July or June, whatever month it may be at this time. And you should listen too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Happy Canada Day to everybody in Canada. 150 years of history for Canada on July 1. Happy Canada Day, eh? That's for you, Ryan, and everybody else in Canada to listen to us. And then, happy 4th of July to all the Americans out there that also love hockey. Celebrate our independence. That's what we got to do on July 4th. And then we'll be back. Well, wow, that's insane that the NHL free agency starts on Canada Day. That's got to be like the most special Canada Day ever. Yeah.
TSN's going to be like, this is great!
You know they're all going to be drunk.
All about us.
They're going to be grilling and grilling Canadian bacon and drinking Canadian beer on Canada Day while covering free agency. Good for them.
Yeah, probably.
All right, guys, that's pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you so much for listening. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.